Good afternoon and welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio again. We're with Joshua 5. And we started with the contrast with obedience and disobedience last time. We're going to continue with that one. And I know Tanya made a remark that I loved it on obedience. It's prayer, surrender, and obedience then follows. And I loved that last time, so I thought I'd share that again.
That's awesome. Isn't that good?
I do like that. And I like this mother story, too, that you went with your mother with humility.
Yeah.
I love that, too.
And let us all be filled with humility.
No kidding.
Bible Knowledge Commentary says, consecration must precede conquest. Consecration must precede conquest. So before we can do anything and attack it with a spiritual mindset, we have to be set apart. We have to spiritually prepare ourselves. And it doesn't matter what the spiritual what the physical advantage is. If we're spiritually prepared, the set apartness that we have in God is what will enable us to move forward in His will and His excellence. And so we've been going through and examining the difference between obedience and disobedience with the nation. And then, you know, they've made it across and they're there. They're between the river and Jericho. And God brings to their attention that they need to consecrate themselves with circumcision. And so I wanted to bring up, I wanted to read the definition first that the Amtrak Dictionary has for circumcision. It says it's a cutting around, becomes in this, the rite of the cutting away of the foreskin. The Jews viewed the uncircumcision as a great impurity. True circumcision is that which takes place in the heart. Mm-hmm. And to be uncircumcised in the heart and the ears is to be in disobedience to God. And for us as a believer, circumcision of the heart is of utmost importance. And so I wanted us to dialogue about the fact that sometimes obedience is painful.
Absolutely is.
I mean, this was major physical painful. The entire nation of Israel's men of military age, so 20 and up.
And Tanya decided it was 59.
Yeah.
21. So it's... Can you imagine?
No. I bet the men out there can't imagine either that's listening.
But. Now, thinking through, that which sets me apart, taking it to today, sometimes obedience is painful.
Yeah.
It's not easy. We rail against it. We fight against it. But the reality is that if we want to be set apart, we have to be where we're willing to make the sacrifices necessary. Mm-hmm. What might that look like in our world? Think about it. How might obedience cause us suffering?
Well, obedience, you know, we're supposed to confess our sins. That's always painful.
But it's so awesome after, isn't it?
It is. You know, that comes to mind.
It is sweet after. I think it's just a dying to yourself.
Yes.
So whether
we should do pride, that every day.
Whatever God's pointing at me, it could be pride, selfishness. Rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm finding more and more that for me it's sacrifice. That in order for me to be obedient in the things that He's called me to be, God doesn't call us to be martyrs. That's not what I'm saying. But it does require sacrifice. In order for me to teach about the Word of God, I have to sacrifice time studying and praying and preparing my heart and my mind so that I can speak from the overflow. But because of that, that means that I shut down and I don't necessarily do the things that the world may say we should be doing, or even the Christian world may say, you know, the interacting or whatever. And so it can also be where it's a sacrifice of good, which isn't always easy too. And I liken it to an athlete. My daughter, I'll use her as an example, in that she wants to do worship dance. And she tried out and made it into the Omaha Dance Project in the ballet and jazz this year. And last year she made it into jazz, but this year it was like, because ballet is so much harder to get in, and she made it in. Well, it means that her Saturdays are gone. She literally will do ballet from 8:15 until about 6:30 on Saturdays, wow, with different hour breaks in between, but not long enough to where she can leave the academy. She has to stay. Mm. So she knows that she will spend her Saturdays through December at the academy. It's requiring sacrifice on her part. Sure. In order for her to get the skill that she needs in order to perform, she has to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And that really is what is required of us. And as I was talking with my dad about this, he's like, well, she can't do that. You know, she's not going to be able to do this, 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 or this. And I'm like, you know, Dad, in order for her to get this goal that she has in her mind, this is what she has to do. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be painful. Mm-hmm. It's going to be mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, you name it, painful. But in order for her to get that, and it's a sacrifice she's willing to make. Mm-hmm. Are we?
Well, you know, it comes down to choices, too. You know, it is a sacrifice, you know, but you have to choose to do that sacrifice to go forward.
Right. To obey. Yeah. And so sometimes we have to evaluate, you know, where is it that obedience and making the choice. And so keeping my mouth shut.
Yeah. Taming the tongue.
When I want to speak out or speaking up when I want to remain silent, because that's just as important in obedience. All right, now that leads us to the next one. In Joshua 5:8, we see that it makes them vulnerable. That obedience can make us vulnerable. Why is that? Here they are circumcised. Physically, they're vulnerable.
Sure.
How is obedience today? How can that make us vulnerable? Can you think of ways that it applies today?
Well, I think we have that fear sometimes of being rejected.
Ah.
You know, imagine that. Mm-hmm. And so when we stand firm in our beliefs, we are rejected a lot of times, you know. I don't know. And it's painful when your friends, kind of walk away.
It is. One of the key things that I am studying more and more about how to be a disciple and how to be a disciple maker, the importance of transparency, of being vulnerable enough to be real, to say, hey, I'm struggling here. Not to allow the persona of perfectionism or I don't make mistakes, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That truly obedience requires us to be vulnerable and transparency about our own struggles. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one that immediately comes to my mind.
Sure.
I think that's why it's important to have a group. You know, we have a fellowship group that meets every Tuesday, and it's interesting. You know, we always keep it within the group. But, yeah, you can be vulnerable there, and it's good.
Safe.
And you grow and say.
Absolutely.
It's a very key word, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't just run out and tell everybody.
I love it, because that really summed up what we talked about last time about being safe. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Then it promotes progress, because now it's been put out there, can be prayed for, helped through, et cetera. I think the vulnerable thing... So Damon and I have had our fair share of issues in our marriage. And so going through some of those, making the choices, okay, I'm going to be obedient in this. And it's really, you know, in the times when it was hard, you want to kind of hide your heart and protect it. And then walking through and praying, okay, I'm staying full on, surrendered, submitting, and reopening that heart again, you know, to Him and to the Lord.
That is so scriptural. I just had this visual, Tanya. Okay, so they circumcise themselves, okay? Mm-hmm. I want you to talk about they're in pain and they're vulnerable. And Scripture says, so they remained.
Right, to heal.
Because there has to be the process of healing.
That's right.
Before we can move forward.
That's right.
And so part of that is recognizing if it's the movement is to move forward yet. Because sometimes it is, we just need to remain for the healing to take place before the movement can happen. So it was like a beautiful example you just gave of a modern day of how they remain to allow the healing to take place. And then before they move forward to take the Jericho.
And those times when, you know, for whatever situations people could be in, but in those valley times and you sit and you wait with the Lord, oh,
It's are precious, aren't they? I think.
They are priceless.
Yes.
The intimacy that's developed with the Lord in you. And he does heal and reveal deeper insights.
I love it.
So on the other side of it, it's just blessing, you know, and then a strength in him alone that now we can move forward.
Because the Lord has rolled away the reproach of Egypt. So whatever the Egypt is.
Absolutely.
That's huge. Isn't that gorgeous? I love it. It's just like God, you know, and so I'm thinking somebody out there is listening, and I don't know what your pain is. I don't know what your place of vulnerability, transparency, of needing to remain in obedience. But I would like to encourage you to pray that as you remain and wait on the Lord, that you ask the Lord to remove the reproach of whatever your Egypt was. Mm-hmm. Wherever you were in bondage, whatever you were required to be a slave into some sort of bondage, that you pray into your life that the Lord remove that reproach as you move forward in obedience. And if he's telling you to wait and remain so that you can heal, obey. And if he's saying, okay, you've waited long enough, it's time to move forward, then move forward.
And I think that happened with me. You know, it took me a while with my husband passing away, the pain, but great moments with the Lord during all that. But now it's time to move forward. And I wouldn't have been ready if I wouldn't have waited.
And sat with him so he could heal and prepare
and
you
and show
for
me where to go.
The next season.
My next, right.
I love
that. Yeah, it's great, you know, so.
And, yeah. He makes it evident. He makes it clear when it's time,
he
doesn't
does.
He?
The key is waiting, and that's hard.
And, yes. And then recognizing that when the waiting's done and the obedience has been faithfully honored, the reproach is gone. The reproach is gone when we move forward in obedience, in faith in what he can do. And and holding on to that and not allowing ourselves to waver from it. Because myself personally, I placed upon myself from my own past sins, I reproached myself and carried with me a reproach that God did not have upon me because it was forgiven.
And if some another word you could use for that is shame, right?
Yes, And God does not, he does not do that to us. He does not shame us. And another New Testament example would be, think of Peter when he denied Christ three times. Just as God did not point out to the nation of Israel, for 40 years you've disobeyed me, you need to go get circumcised. God did not do that. He just very matter-of-factly said, you know, circumcise the nation. Get knives, circumcise them.
And with Peter, you know, with the three, he asked him three times if he loved him. I thought that was always interesting. Do you love me, Peter? You know, three times. Do you love me, Peter?
and preparing him for what was coming. He was trying to show him how to set himself apart. But when the Lord rose from the grave and Peter had denied him, Jesus did not look at him and say, you denied me.
Right. No, he
not
never
once.
Did say you.
He
you.
Never, nope. ever once. He, the first conversation he has with him, he tells him what he's going to do for the kingdom of God.
Right.
And that's how God looks at us. He sees what we're called to do for the kingdom of God. He doesn't look at our past.
Because he knows our future.
That's on who?
On him.
Christ took that shame.
Right. And I think people forget that. You know, it's in the past.
It.
The past is the past.
I love it. Right. I love it. So what I did... and in this Bible study, and you're not even going to get—we aren't even going to get close to completing because it's been so rich. This is our fourth recording. Is it our third or our fourth? It's our third.
I think it's
I can't remember. I'm like, where are we at in this set? I can't even remember. Thank you guys for being my brain.
Thanks, Tanya. I wrote down three.
In the study, I actually take you through actual scriptures in Old Testament and New Testament to show why circumcision is important. Physically, how they had it, why they had it in the nation, and then why it's important for the New Testament and what it looks like in the New Testament. And in Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 6, if we walk in obedience and we return to God, God will circumcise our heart. That's essentially what this passage summarizes and says. And I'd like for us, if we could, turn to Colossians 2, 9 through 15, in the New Testament, and because Tanya brought it up, I want us to look at this completion of in Christ, what that might look like. And so, Tanya, would you mind reading Colossians 2, 9 through 15 for us?
Sure. Okay. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross.
Amen. And that is like so powerful. It's like,
I mean, that's our true identity in Christ right there.
I love it. And so I read this passage, and I was actually working through and doing this Bible study personally over myself. And I hadn't even told Sandy or Tanya this. And when Sandy was writing down the summation for one of the weeks that we did, she called it the circle. And really, that's it, is that we have this circle of our relationship with God and the circumcision that takes place. And I wrote down a summation from this passage, and that God made me, he made you, when we believe in Jesus, alive in Christ. Yeah. Alive. Alive. And that is key. And that is alive. Though we may physically die, we will still be alive in Christ. Okay? He has forgiven all our sins. Not one. Not the one I'm willing to give to him.
Yeah. The ones we don't want to talk about.
And this one blew my mind away. Canceling the written code of regulations that are against me and oppose me. Huge. He canceled the written code. The written code, whatever it may be, there is no curse against me. I am alive in Christ, forgiven. Mm-hmm. And that written code, it says, was nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross. And God disarmed the powers of all authorities, all minions, all dominions, all legions, whatever it is that you can visualize in that hierarchy of the demonic influences, all of that is canceled. Not only that, he makes a public spectacle of them. Mm. They will not stand against him, period. They will not. And then the triumph over the written code, regulations, authorities is all completed and done at the cross.
Yeah.
Thank you for the cross.
Amen. Yeah. And I'm so humbled that God so loved us that instead of being condemning of us, he says, you know, get the flint knives in.
Yeah, circumcise.
and he's like, okay, son, you know, take up the cross and provide a way. Come back next week to hear the rest. God bless.